Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jordan Bastian, he writes Cubs for MLB.com. Good morning, Jordan. How are you?
Morning, Jordan.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are living the dream and really been enjoying your work. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff you've been writing.
Yeah, welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Long time guy getting the work done here in Chicago. You know, I don't know. When I see a guy develop a hitch in his giddy up, I wonder if that's something that you can continue to do. I thought it was all about trying to repeat your mechanics, and C.J. Edwards is developing something new.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he's talked about looking at Kenley Jansen in the past, in previous years, but this year, I mean, when he took the mound, you know, I'm still learning all these guys' swings and deliveries from, you know, but watching him, I was like, I'm pretty sure that looks different. It looks like Kenley Jansen. And sure enough, he said, yeah, he went back and he looked at video of Jansen again. And, you know, not to completely copy his mechanics, but sort of incorporate that pause over the rubber to maintain a little bit more balance before driving forward. It's obviously not something you're going to do if you're coming into a runners on situation. You would do it when there's no runners on. And again, he thinks it's going to help him stay balanced, stay focused, and then be able to, again, the goal would be to command the strike zone better, which everyone knows, as electric as his arm is, as great as his stuff is, he needs to be in the strike zone more. And so that he's hoping, you know, you start it off in spring, you work on it, you see if it's effective, and you got 6 weeks to see if it is, and if it's not, you toss it out and go back to the drawing board. So, but yeah, that was an interesting development on the day one of bullpens here.
Jordan, Tyler Chatwood's another pitcher trying to fix something. And I think when you look at what he identified mechanically, he had a jab toward the third baseline, he called it, and he found it in a couple of his former coaches from his past, helped him kind of correct it. And he was dealing with Tommy Hotovy via video. And what did you make of the way he explained it, where he is mentally, and what he can do to maybe carve out a spot in this bullpen if that's where he ends up?
Yeah, I mean, I went back and I tried to look at video of the Rockies from him, and then I tried to look at video of last year because Joe Maddon said it's going to be a subtle change. It's going to be hard to see. And it was hard to see exactly what the difference was from what we saw here the other day versus – you know, maybe what he was doing before. It's so slight, but he says it's, you know, a lot of times with these pitchers, it can be something so minute that just causes a negative chain reaction. He thinks they have identified it. Everyone looks good in bullpens, right? Oh, he looked great on day one, you know, but they got him on the mound that's rigged with the high-speed cameras and to gather all the pitch data so he can go back and look at it. And you're going to be seeing a lot of guys running through those mounds so they can get that data. And he's going to be an important one because he's going to want to make sure that what he's feeling is matching up with what the Cubs are seeing. And the real test is going to come in games, you know, to see if he, kind of like CJ, like we talked about, is commanding that strike zone, you know, cutting down on that walk rate, because this is a guy with great stuff. I liked the mentality. You know, he didn't come in day one and said, I'm ready for a bullpen role. He came in and said, you know, I want to be a starter. I'm a starting pitcher. Now, obviously, you look at the landscape, and there's no room for him if everyone's healthy. That's the reality of the situation. But you don't want to see a guy conceding that already. I think that says something about the type of mentality that he's trying to take here of, you know, trying to prove his way back into the picture. But there's no room in the inn right now, and even that bullpen field's pretty crowded. So that'll be an interesting one to follow throughout the spring.
Well, that's, you know, we were discussing it a little bit earlier today, this idea that he sees himself as a starter, he believes he's a starter. That's his only role, because if a guy has control problems, how do you bring him in to a high leverage situation? How do you bring him into any situation?
Right, unless you think you can, by minimizing the exposure, you can maximize the results. You know, that maybe if he can hone it in for a batter or two, you know, then, you know, you're you're right, though. It's a fine line. You know, if you're walking a lot of guys, can you trust him to come in and minimize that in a shorter pitch load type scenario? That's a great question. It's a great question. They're going to have a lot of time here to analyze and break down. But starting is what he's done. Starting what he wants to do. As the roster's currently configured, it doesn't look like starting is what he's going to be doing.
Would they go to a six-man rotation? I mean, just off the top of my head, they got
no way.
Age on some of those guys. I mean, Lester yeah. and Cole Hamill. I agree with the no way, but that might be a solution if he was worth it.
No, I don't think there's going to be any talk of that, especially when you're looking at a rotation chock full of veterans and guys that,
yeah.
not saying they're going to do it, but guys who could log 180 to 200 innings to a man. I just don't think you that's the type of rotation that you're going to try and squeeze a six guy into. And if it is a six
especially
guy, it's
him.
Going to be Montgomery.
Especially yeah, him, exactly. yeah. Talking with Jordan Bastian, covers the Cubs for MLB.com. Jordan, yesterday I think it was Jason Hayward was talking about the Cubs' decision and from the front office to stand pat in the offseason, and he said that they had earned that right. That group had been to, you know, the playoffs four consecutive years, and they had earned the right to kind of reinvest hope and faith in that core. And just wonder what you thought of that decision and maybe that approach, because you know you're covering the Cubs for the first time, you come into that clubhouse for the first time, what your impressions are of this veteran group that has done a lot of winning but is coming into this season sort of with a chip on its shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, I was covering the Indians for 8 years, so I was there when the Cubs won the whole thing. You know, so I have, you know, I got to see this team at its best during that World Series, and you know, everyone thought that was the start of multiple World Series runs, and it hasn't come to fruition. The talk of the roster being mostly unchanged—it's an interesting dynamic because from the players you hear, "Hey, I love that they're showing trust in the group in place," but all offseason it was really, "We don't have the budget room to go out and make any wholesale changes to this roster." But you like that the players are coming in and not focusing on the financial aspect of it and saying, no, we have what it takes. We have the guys in this room. And they're not wrong. They do have a winning team and a team that's proved that they can win in the playoffs. It's just the last couple of years, and especially last year down the stretch, you know, it just didn't happen for them. But, again, you know, you're in this early spring part of the season when mindset and optimism are abundant. And so I think you're looking for the type of approach that guys are taking mentally. Like I said, Chatwood saying he's a starter. Okay, he's not conceding the bullpen stuff yet. Players saying the front office is trusting us. Okay, they're taking that type of view to this financial situation for this team. Those are little things that I think you're starting to see seeds being planted for this group and the messaging being planted by the front office of that sense of urgency and a lot of the things you're hearing out of the players are sort of backing up that line of talk. Again, it's going to happen when the games come. That's when you're really going to see some of this come to fruition and see some of these storylines play out.
Covering the Indians, I'm sure you dealt with Trevor Bauer. And
yes, I did.
I dislike him immensely as a Sox fan. But let me just ask you, his idea, it's out there now, thinks he's going to go year to year. I guess his feelings were hurt in arbitration. How insane is Trevor Bauer, I guess, would be the question.
You know, this has been a big topic conversation in the workroom here, too. You know, as a reporter, I loved him. I never had nothing to write about with this guy. You know, you can say what you want about his opinions and his views. He owns them. You know, he's out front and with it, and it's not like he's unaware. He's probably one of the most self-aware people I've ever been around. He's talked for years about this year-to-year approach to contracts. It actually stems from a bet he has with a friend of his from way back when, and he's trying to stick to it. I think I read some of the articles. I haven't talked to Trevor in the last couple of days, but yeah, I read some of the stories about this arbitration process, and the part that he really kind of griped about was, and it wasn't the Indians, it was the labor relations department who brought this to the table, was arguing about this charitable endeavor that he did last year. He did 69 days of giving, and it was $420.69 every day to a charity over 69 days. He did the jokey aspect of it because he thought that would grab more attention and get more people to write about it, even if it's a negative way of going about it. But he wanted to actually do a good thing and give charities money each day to raise awareness for a lot of groups that are doing a lot of great things. But it was like, are there better ways to go about this? So that's where he got criticized in the what he called character assassination portion of his arbitration hearing. But he's an interesting guy. I learned a lot about pitching from long discussions with him. I got to go up to Driveline with him up in Seattle last year and kind of take a peek behind the curtain. You're seeing a lot of the stuff similar here with the Cubs, with the Edgertronic cameras and the Rapsodo pitch data units. You know, all that stuff has been going on in Driveline for a long time. And he's an interesting guy, that's for sure. We could talk an hour about Bauer alone, right?
any Trevor Bauers in the Cubs clubhouse? Any guys that you've met so far that kind of intrigue you and you think could be, you know, compelling personalities that you're getting to know? And what are your early impressions of Joe Maddon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming from Terry Francona, so I'm going from one awesome quotable manager to the next. I've enjoyed the Joe stories, which will be new to me this year. Some of these other guys might hear some of these anecdotes, for multiple times. I'll be enjoying them for the first time, so I enjoyed that. The locker room, you know, I haven't really gotten to know many players yet. I'm still in that process, but I know some of the guys here. I know Brian Butterfield on the coaching staff, so I talked to him yesterday, and that'll be one of the fun parts of this new job, even as a 14-year beat guy, to walk in and kind of rebuild that rapport. I'm like, hey, Joe Maddon's got that rookie energy. I do too, right?
I enjoyed the Brandon Morrow stuff too, and it's very interesting because I think a lot of people are nervous about what's going to happen at the closer position, and certainly mm-hmm. Stropey starts, but the ultimate plan is Morrow.
Yeah, we talked to Strope yesterday, and he kind of laughed when someone asked him about, you know, your thoughts on being the closer to start the year. He said, did Joe say I'm the closer? everyone kind of laughed. But he said he likes it because he doesn't feel alone in the bullpen. He's got C-Sheck. He's got, you know, they brought in Brad Brock. They've got guys down there with closing experience. So he said he likes that going into the year. Yeah, he's going to be the guy until Morrow gets back or maybe even beyond, based on how Brandon's doing. But he says that he likes that he doesn't feel that he's like the only option for the late innings. There will be some mixing and matching in that first month for sure, not just in the closer role, but I just mean in those late innings to get there. You hope the starters can go deep, but sometimes in April when they're still building up, that's not the case. So it's going to be an interesting month to watch, see how that plays out. And then it will be intriguing to see when Morrow does come back. You know, how's he throwing? What's his velocity look like? How's he bouncing back? Will he jump right into a closing role, or do they need to ease him in? And those are all things that we'll see play out over the next, you know, 2 months, basically.
Jordan, thanks a ton. Really appreciate you getting up with us, and really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks, Jordan. Enjoy Arizona.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.